Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
She's not new to this.
She is true to this.
On Point with Bondal and Stokes.
Live well, win well.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Well, it is On Point with Wanda and Stokes, Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Always keeping you on point every time we can. Every time we get a chance, always keeping you on point and always inviting you to join the conversation. Mondays are Medical Mondays here on Point, and Dr. Joffrey is sharing with us today. A pleasant good afternoon, doctor. How are you? All right. Well, the doctor will be in with us very shortly, but you know, there's been a lot happening, especially over the past weekend with the rise of the numbers when it comes to the coronavirus. And many of the local and state officials are actually responding and saying, well, listen, we actually reopened too soon. Now, you know, that was really something that was talked about when the different states began to reopen. When they began to reopen, many of the residents, many of the citizens were stating, this is just too soon. And now, these weeks later, we're seeing that it was actually too soon, and some of them actually having to admit that it's too soon in a lot of these different states where we're seeing the numbers on the rise here in the state of Georgia and Arizona, also in California, as well as in others. And so as we're looking at what's happening in this surge of the coronavirus, we're going to check in with the doctor and just see exactly what he has to say. I know that we've been talking about this pandemic. It is not old news. It is current news. It is relevant news. And it is infecting and affecting all of us in various ways. Pleasant good afternoon, doctor. How are you?
I am doing well. And how are you today?
I am doing great. I am doing great today. Dr. Joffrey, woo! This weekend, there have been many across this country that have been out and having fun at the beaches and at parks without wearing masks. What do you say to that?
I am saying to that is unfortunate to us as a people and as a country, because what that means is that the infections are going to rise. However, if there's a point here that we may be able to hold on to, that the data is starting to be very clear that the virus is not transmitted as effectively when you're outside. Pause. I didn't say it's not transmitted. It's just not transmitted as effectively compared to being inside. But what is clear is that the number of infections will rise over the next 2 weeks, because that's how long it usually takes someone to become symptomatic, usually about 7 to 14 days.
Right, right. So outside is better, is what you're saying, basically.
Right. Well, yes. Well, ideally, it's better to be inside, socially isolate, stay away. But if you're going to be around people, it's best to be outside. And actually, if you want to know truth, it's better to be outside on a warmer, windy day. But again, I don't want to lose sight of it. It's safer to be socially distant away from people, period, just overall.
And how do you balance that, doctor? How should people balance that being isolated or being quarantined and yet needing that social part or that social balance to just be able to connect with people or see people and to breathe in fresh air? How can one balance that?
You know, that's a very real and very practical question because as you alluded to, as you were introducing me, while the COVID virus is starting to feel like old news to people, it's not. And in fact, you could even say it's almost newer now than it was 3 months ago, newer in terms of the number of deaths. But how do you balance that given that it's been here for so long and that it turns out we are in a marathon versus a sprint? Mm-hmm. You've got to have measured risk. Meaning that there are just some places that you just know you can't go. You shouldn't go to any bars, inside or outside. If there's a large gathering where people are going to be close, then you just can't go. Now, if you need to go and watch it from afar, then you like do that. But I get it. You want to be around people, but you have to select who you're going to be around. Like, select people you know who have been washing hands socially distancing and wearing masks. So in summary, you've got to take measured and calculated risk.
But what about, doctor, when it comes to family? A lot of people came together as family. And, you know, when all family comes together, sometimes you don't really know what family members are really taking those necessary precautions. And because if you have adults, siblings coming together and then the children within there, so all these cousins, you have no idea if they're actually all practicing. What are some of the measures that one should be cautious about even when you're bringing your families together?
That is a great question. So let me put on my doctor hat so that no one will take this personally.
Okay.
Don't forget, we learned months ago, you assume that everyone's COVID positive. Family or non-family. So therefore, you want to still wear your mask. If it's a gathering and it's a family event, you want the event to be outside and still wear your mask. If you must be inside with them, then it's one of those where you wear your mask, remind people early on. I know that some families called other family members and say, hey, have you been socially distancing? Do you wear a mask? And that's important because if you tell me that you have not been doing what the CDC says, then it frees me up to make a decision. Do I want to put my family at risk or not? And I get it. It gets difficult because these are family members, but at the end of the day, we are now executives and leaders within our own household whose primary job is to protect our families.
Right, exactly, and certainly must keep that in mind. When you look at the CDC guidelines, doctors, what are they not saying? What is missing, in your opinion, from a medical perspective, when it comes to the CDC guidelines?
Well, when it comes to the CDC guidelines, I think that there are two things that are glaring to me that are not being mentioned. Is the risk factors of being vitamin D deficient. That's a humongous one that the media is starting to talk about. And then the second one is, while the CDC guidelines mention it, they understate it, which is younger people are infecting older people. Mm-hmm. And younger people, and this is what I was going to talk about today, younger people in this country are getting sicker compared to China. An article came out last week that basically said why. You want to know why, Mr. Stokes?
Why?
It's something that you've been dealing with since you've taken over the show and have done a wonderful job as it relates to health. I mean, 17% of the Chinese population are obese. 49% of Americans are obese. And what they have figured out is that even if you're young and you are obese, you lose the benefit of being young as it relates to COVID. In other words, obesity is a humongous risk factor for negative outcomes as it relates to like COVID. CDC does not talk about that enough. Now let's take it a step further. If you happen to have a little extra weight on, I do, because COVID's going to be here for a while, this is your chance to decrease that as a risk factor. So there are many parts that I don't see the CDC just saying, hey, Americans, if you do this, this, or this, instead of saying, we're waiting for this vaccine, we're waiting for this vaccine, it should be, while we're waiting, Americans, let's do this and this and this and this.
Right, right. And we're seeing that, we're seeing that happen. I want to talk to you just a little bit more. Join the conversation. It's our Medical Monday with Dr. Joffrey, 404-892-2703. And we're going to talk about these different risk levels for obesity, you know, young and healthy, but still, you know, overweight. And we'll talk about all of that and more. It's more to come on Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, the News and Talk 1380. W-A-O-K.
Hi, this is Bridget Gagne, CPA. I'm not your average bean counter, and you're listening to On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 W-A-O-K.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 W-A-O-K. Are you a business owner in the Atlanta Metro? Interesting. Now back to On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. Live well, win well on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Well, it's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Dr. Joffrey is on the line with us. It's Medical Mondays. So always looking forward for our Medical Mondays. And, of course, remember now, it's veggie. It's our veggie day. Eating green veggies with every meal on Mondays during the month of July. Yes, you can include green vegetables for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and even for your snacks. Let's go down to our phone lines. I think I've got Rashid on, and he wants to, he has a question or comment for you, doctor. Go right ahead. Hi. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, I was reading an article about, it's called What You Need to Know About Surviving COVID. And it said that this COVID leaves a lasting impact on people that have had it and really suffered from it. And some people, according to the article, their lungs will never work at 100% capacity, so they're going to always be needing oxygen, or they might need a lung transplant, or you might need a kidney transplant, or you might need a heart transplant because of the damage that's being done. And then I heard this African-American nurse on Facebook, and you could tell she was upset, and she was saying about some of her patients, how they were completely healthy, and they're just either stroking out, they're having heart attacks, or they're getting limbs cut off because of the same thing according to the article. She was saying they're getting their limbs cut off because of the no blood circulation. And she even said that she's seen cases, and she said it's kind of strange because when all the nurses and the doctors are looking at it, this is the first time that they're seeing people come in and the blood's not red. It's like black, or it's too thick to come. It's so thick it can't even come out. And, yeah, she's just saying that people just aren't taking it. Like, I see it, you know, just going out. People ain't taking this mask thing seriously. They think it's a joke. The white people think they're invincible, and then some of the black people do, too. Man, it's crazy. But, yeah, those effects of the blood clots, of the legs, even an actor in New York that just died from the COVID. He was a skinny guy, looks fairly healthy. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it doesn't matter what you're eating, you're exercising. If you catch that virus, she said, There's a chance that you will die.
What do you say to that, Dr. Joffrey?
I will stay on the same thing that I've always stayed on. There was a lot that was stated in there that I don't agree with. But let's stay on the theme that what we're talking about is that the caller and I definitely agree that COVID can kill you. That is true. But the biggest and most reliable thing that we can do is prevention. And so I know people are tired of hearing about the gloves and the mask and washing your hands, but that is key. But there are three other things that we've been talking about. We've already talked about the vitamin D. But the exercise is key.
because COVID's going to be around here for a long time. The more you exercise, the more stable your immune system, and the more you're able to fight off respiratory problems, and that helps you with your weight. So everyone needs to make a clear decision, meaning no decision is a decision. Decide that, hey, I'm going to make sure that I optimize everything so that, so that I don't get COVID. And if for some reason I do, I've maximized every possible thing within my ability to make sure that I survive COVID.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Exactly. Making sure that you do everything that you can do. Does it matter what classification of obesity that one is in? Because some are low risk, some are very high risk. But does it matter what classification of obesity, or should all who have a body mass index that is out of control, should they be concerned?
That is a great question. Actually, many of your callers can go to the CDC, but for those whose BMI are, a normal BMI, as I've heard you talk about, is below 20. But those who are overweight are usually between 25 and 29. Those who are obese, those are over 30. What the studies are showing is that those who are over 30, just overall, they are at increased risk for negative outcomes as it relates to like COVID. However, we knew that even prior to like COVID, people who are morbidly obese have increased risk for heart attacks, diabetes, strokes. And don't forget, those are all comorbid factors as it relates to negative outcomes to like COVID. So let me reel it in. In summary, if people start to lose weight now, and don't get me wrong, I am not saying going on some binge quick diet, because those have proven 99% of the time don't work. But if you could just change one or two things this week, you can start to decrease your chances of having a negative outcome as it relates to like COVID. Something as simple as, hey, I'm not going to drink any soda. I'm just going to give up drinking soda, and I'm going to walk 15 to 30 minutes a day. Something as simple as that. Make the split second decision that you're going to save your life and help save the life member of your family as well.
Exactly. Doctor, what do you have to say as it relates to people being able to get the virus again? You know, those who have been infected, gone through that process, and now they have tested negative, but then they go back later and they're testing positive. What's the possibility of people getting COVID twice?
Okay, so that is a great question, but I need to answer it in two ways, if you don't mind. Okay. The first one is, if you've gotten COVID and you are all the way cured, the way science has worked for the last 100 years is that you cannot get the same virus again, meaning that your body builds up the antibodies, which are the antivirus fighting cells. So you can't get it again. Now, how long can you not get it again? Right now, what they're thinking, by the way, don't forget, no one knows, about 1 to 2 years at least. Real quick, everyone, don't forget, COVID is not a super special virus. It's just that it's our body's first time seeing this basic virus, and that's why it is causing this havoc. Now, as it relates to testing positive, what the studies are showing is, let's just go back to the test that we've already talked, mm-hmm. always spoken about, that nasal swab. All that swab does, and I've always said this, it tests for, is there virus in those cells or not? I never said it tests for live virus. The reason why that's important is because the cells in our respiratory system
they turn over, meaning that they reproduce about every 3 to 4 weeks. So there are those people who they test positive. Yes, they tested positive. They are cured and they're done. But if you retest them, a small number of them will still test positive. Why? Because they've got dead virus in those cells that are being tested. So let me just bring it home. If you have had the virus and you have been cured, you do not get the virus again. Studies are very clear about that.
Wow, that is so interesting. That's one of the things that they actually do know about the virus, right?
Yes.
We're going to ask the doctor about attending and being a part of various industries and fields. What does it mean to now prepare to go back to school, to even fly on an airplane and sitting in that middle seat? We'll hear what the doctor has to say. Right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
She's your sister, girl, and friend. On Point with Wanda and Stokes. Live well, win well. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Have never been so much.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda and Stokes. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's our Medical Monday. 404-892-2703 is the number to call. Just in today, Dr. Joffrey, United Airlines has made, you know, an admission about social distancing on airplanes. They've all but admitted that blocking the middle seat on flights is mostly theater design to make people feel safer without any actual benefit. What do you say about that, with airlines now selling out the middle seat? And, you know, the lack of practicing that social distancing, because when you're on flights an hour, 2 hours, people are going to talk, people are going to cough. And, you know, what do you say about that? What is your response to that?
I say that I understand their position. It's not completely wrong. It's not completely right. Just because the closer you are, period, the greater the risk of infection or of transmitting it. But I understand their point, which was you're not receiving a large benefit by having that middle seat open. And so they've chosen to go ahead and fill it. However, there are still some things that we can do even prior to getting on a flight. And by the way, most of your audience needs to understand that the air on the airplane is probably the best filtered air than even hospitals. It is what you do while you're on the plane. For instance, it's very important to wipe down everything once you sit down, including that that armrest. Wear your mask while mm-hmm. you're on the plane, and if you get up and go to the restroom, have your gloves on, have your mask on, and be very careful about touching those knobs. So while being on a plane is not the safest, but you need to make it as safe as you can for you and your family.
And why do you say the air is probably much better there on the airplane than it is in the hospital?
Because they filter the air on the plane about 10 to 12 times per hour. The studies have shown that the air on the plane is being filtered often. And in fact, even prior to COVID, remember people used to talk about they get sick when they were on planes. Well, studies have shown it's all that we do leading up to getting on that plane and getting off. And most importantly, that jetway, you know, that area where you're walking down to the plane, it's not ventilated. So that's an extremely infectious area.
Okay.
So you want to get down that jetway as fast as you can.
That's great. Jihad of Atlanta West End. Hi, welcome. Good afternoon. The doctor's on the line. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon to both of you. Quick question, Doc. They've been saying that the virus affects your lungs and your kidneys. Now, is this something that's happening like now, even though you might not have the major symptoms? Would you say the majority of people might be having that situation take place now without our knowledge?
Hello? Mr. Stokes, would you repeat his question? Because I could barely hear him.
He was saying, Jahad, to make sure I'm correct when I'm asking, reiterating your question.
Yeah, I was saying that they're reporting that the damage of the virus is to you, some of the damage is to your lungs and your kidneys. And they're finding that this process is being taking place with the people who are definitely in the hospital or definitely been affected. Even when they recover, they have lung and kidney damage. I'm asking if the virus in its form now with the common people, is it affecting our lungs and viruses, lungs and our kidneys to some degree, but not to the extent as the people that go to the hospital? Does that make sense?
Yep, and that's a great question, and you have shown.
Thank you. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
All right. And thank you for your insight. There have been many peer-reviewed articles that have shown that people who were asymptomatic and had very and did not develop symptoms, when you do a CAT scan of their chest, there are many people who have changes in their lungs, which are consistent with someone who may have had a COVID infection. So in answer to your question, yes, there are some asymptomatic carriers who have changes, radiographic changes, that right now they don't experience any symptoms. But there's no one in the world, because this is new, who can tell you what that means a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. But the primary organ that COVID affects are the lungs. However, anything can be.
Anything can be altered.
Your heart, your kidney. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Rodney out of New York. Good afternoon, Rodney. Welcome to On Point.
Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Well, thank you, brother.
Go right ahead, Rodney, with your question.
Yes. I would like to know, is the doctor listening?
Yes, he is.
I sure am, sir.
Yes. I would like to know, how is Dwayne Wade able to get his 12-year-old's weenie cut off at such a young age without permission from God?
Okay. All right. From a medical perspective, doctor, what's your response to that question?
I actually did not hear the question.
Rodney, ask your question again.
Yes. I said, I would like to know, how is Dwayne Wade able to get his 12-year-old's weenie cut off at such a young age without permission from God?
All right. So let me just say that every day we all make about 35,000 decisions every day. Mm-hmm. And most of those are mundane and don't even matter, such as, you know, what color shoes to put on, what to eat. But 1 or 2% of those are life-changing, life-altering, and most of those are split-second decisions. If you learn to improve your split-second decisions, you improve your decision-making IQ overall. Mm-hmm. What you just described there, it was not a split-second decision. Sounds like someone thought about it, processed it, and because I don't know enough about it, it's very difficult for me to even comment on it.
Thank you so much, doctor. Thank you for your call. Also, doctor, when we're looking at not only flying on these airplanes, but also as children and parents are making a decision as to whether or not they're going to allow their college-age students, children to go back to school, and also even our younger kids going back to school, what are the precautions that one must take? Because some will not just do online. Some may be returning to the classrooms.
And that is the million-dollar question, because I am sure that you're aware that the American Academy of Pediatrics has come out that they believe kids should go back to my school for many psychosocial, emotional, and academic reasons. And so what they're asking is that include the kids in the calculation of should they go back. Now, there are some areas that I can give your listening audience three criteria to at least use as data points. I mean, look at the trend of hospitalizations in your area. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not asking for one day, but look at the trend. Look at the trend of ICU admissions, and then look at the trend of deaths. The reason why that's so important, it lets you know how active the virus is in your area. The reason why that gets difficult is because kids, by and large, are still pretty much immune. But the question is, who is your child coming home to? Are they coming home to Gammy, who's 85 years old and frail, or are they coming home to like just young people? It's not it's a difficult decision. And as it relates to my college, most colleges are doing it differently. So I would encourage you to look at that college, because some colleges are putting in such a great program that if my child was like going to my school, to that school, they could go back in the fall to that school.
That's good. Dr. Joffrey sharing with us on Medical Mondays. When we come back, going to ask him about those dealing with diabetes, whether it's type 2, type 1, alcohol drinkers, and those that are dealing with arthritis. What type of impact can it have upon those who get infected with the virus and they're dealing with diabetes, alcohol drinkers, and arthritis? More to come right here, News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
Call us now at 404-892-2703. On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes is on. Live well and win well on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on!
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes. Cut your news and talk with 1380 WAOK. We're speaking with Dr. Joffrey. It's a Medical Monday. And we're talking about COVID-19. And as it relates to different illnesses, there are some people who are at increased risk if they have diabetes. And some are pre-diabetic. Some are taking insulin pills. And doctor, what do you say to those who are dealing with diabetes as it relates to this virus?
I say that while diabetes is a risk factor, it does not mean that if you get COVID and you have diabetes that you're going to have a negative outcome. And in fact, the better you control your sugars, meaning that diabetics, they regularly take their own blood sugars, the better you control it, the less of a risk factor COVID is for you as well. But don't get me wrong, it is a risk factor, but it does not mean that if you get COVID, you're going to have a negative outcome. So I still want you to have hope, because right. Just because you have a risk factor doesn't mean that you're going to have a negative outcome. And you know, while we're on that, Mr. Stokes, I've got to say, this is a big, big, big week for me. You want to know why?
Why?
Because my big release is tomorrow on my book.
No,
the big release is tomorrow. Yes.
Well, I know you are excited. Oh, my God. Wow. Tell us about your new release on tomorrow.
It's called Training Your Mind in Split-Second Decisions. It was due out back in March, but because of COVID, we pulled it back and added some COVID value to it. Why? Because what we realized was that people now are making life and death split second decisions as it relates to their families.
Right. That's
and
right.
If you haven't been trained, you're just guessing. So my book, and it's a great read. It gives you great stories. And as everyone who has read it comment, I came out feeling encouraged. I came out feeling like I had a framework for knowing how to make a decision. And so if this book becomes a bestseller, I would be the only person in the country who has a bestseller as it relates to the police and a bestseller as it relates to making split-second
decisions that if police organizations chose to like use, they could use it as well. So this is a big week for us.
That is certainly it's certainly a big week for you. And life is filled with making split second decisions always, because life is forever changing. And also just in the midst of crisis and just situations that come up on a regular basis, how can people connect with you and with your new release?
They can follow me on YouTube at Dr. Joffrey, DrGeoffrey, or they can go to Amazon and they can put in training your mind in split second decisions, training your mind in split second decisions, or just put in my name, Dr. Joffrey, Geoffrey, Mount, Mount, Varner, Varner. And just one final word that I just must make, because things have gotten even more scary than when we first started talking. And I think it's very important for your audience to still recognize that 97% of us who get this will be just fine. Mm-hmm. And that if there's any time in this country, we are truly in this together. So if they do small things like reach out to their neighbors and say, hey, I'm just calling to check on you. Reach out to someone they've not spoken to in the last couple of things. And I am so sorry that the government has racialized this, that it has become an issue. But unfortunately, this is one of those things that we've got to reach across the aisle, black, reach across white, reach across black, because the only way we fix this is if we decrease the infection. Mm-hmm. If we decrease the transmission, I'm so sorry that the data ever came out that blacks were being disproportionately impacted. Why? Because it led whites to think that they couldn't get it. Now all of a sudden you see that the data is shifting, and so we're in this together. We need them to wear a mask. We need us to wear a mask. You do better, I do better. Again, this is one of those times you got to reach into your faith and say, hey, because one last thing, I promise for everyone out there who has prejudice in them, I promise you this, if you put it to the side just for a moment, mm-hmm. let's deal with this COVID stuff, and then you can pull it back out, it will still be there. But this is just one of those times that as a country, we all have to do our part, because if you get infected, you risk infecting somebody else who I may know and love too.
Very well stated. Carlo from Atlanta has a question for you. Go right ahead. The doctor's on the line.
Hello, Carol.
Oh, this is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol. That's okay. Thanks, both of you, and thank you so much, doctor, for your guidance. I'm 77 years old, and I was diagnosed with an umbilical hernia around February, was getting ready to go to Emory for my consultation, but the virus mm-hmm. occurred and it surged, so I've been not denied, but I have been put on hold, and now the virus mm-hmm. has surged again. So what should be, and my doctor said they're not doing the operations for that now. That was about a month ago. So when, as a patient, should I press or try to get in to have that type of surgery, or just it does not hurt?
Right. Congratulations on, it sounds like you are 74, 75, and very healthy. So great job. Mm-hmm. As it relates to the hernia, I would just stay in constant contact, because currently you're right. That is an elective procedure. Just so happened Georgia is being hit hard, so they've stopped elective procedures. And I would just stay in constant contact. When you see Georgia's numbers decreasing, then you will see them slowly start to allow elective procedures. But rest assured that if it starts to become painful, that's no longer an elective procedure. That is an urgent one. And so therefore they would like get you in right away.
Okay.
And if it becomes urgent, don't get me wrong, you have time. It's not it's not urgent in terms of the way that people view life threats. It's
Thank
one
you.
Of those like, oh, she's having symptoms, so now let's go ahead and fix this right away. But how they're doing it now, it's kind of standard, which is elective stuff,
Let's put it on hold for now.
Okay, well, you answered that because that was what was told to me when the numbers were not high. Mm-hmm. And as I wanted to try to get in then, and I was not successful. So she told me that it apparently was some strain in it, and I'm sure it was because I was doing exercises with my arthritis. And I'm glad you're talking mm-hmm. about that, too. But I do make sure I move, and I'm watching everything you tell me about the diet, the D, and all of that. I'm on point with that. So I appreciate it, and I was wondering whether it was truly an elective surgery. So I will watch for the numbers, and hopefully Georgia will, Atlanta area around here in Fulton will come down so I can. And I'll just listen for the hospital or for my primary doctor to call me and let me know, or should I make sure that I keep in contact with them?
You should keep in contact with them, but rest assured, hospitals want to do these elective surgeries. So don't get me wrong. If they could get you now, they would, because that's how hospitals, believe it or not, that's how they make their money. They can't wait to open up. But I would encourage you to stay in contact with your surgeon and your primary care doctor.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
thank
Carol.
You very much. Thank you, and thank you, Wonderland. I love you.
I love you, too. Thanks
God bless
bunch.
Y'all. Bless you.
Bless you. Stay healthy. Stay connected. Dr. Jarvis, you got a lot of work to do. Your big release this week, split-second decisions. Awesome.
Yeah.